Following the introduction of Peter's epistle in verse 3 to 12, Peter talks about our salvation and its foundation. Remember that the recipients of this letter are Christians who would be subjected to increasing persecution. Peter wanted them to know they were merely strangers in this world. After passing through this life, they would arrive in their true home in heaven. Beginning in verse 13, Peter now shifts gears from the basic doctrine of salvation to the practical aspects of the Christian life. So, how should we live this life? How should we live this life? The English conjunction therefore, shown in verse 13, serves as a transition. Therefore, what shall we do? We will discover Peter's three answers over the next 3 weeks. This last portion of chapter 1, verse 13 through 25 we just read might be one mini-series within 1 Peter. To begin with, the first topic Peter brings us is holiness. Holiness. Look at verses 13 through 17. We are called to be habitually holy. We are called to be habitually holy. And then, the next 2 weeks, we will consider the topics of being called to confidently fear and called to brotherly love. Today, we say that we are called to be habitually holy. I suppose it had to be over 7 years ago that I had a part-time job in addition to studying theology in South Korea, my homeland. There was a little controversy going on with one of my co-workers. She was a middle-aged Christian woman. She had served in a church for a long time. She was very kind to me, but had a different opinion on the topic of holiness than I have. She tried to persuade me not to preach about holiness. Her argument was that people don't want to hear about holiness and holy life anymore. The more I preach about holy life, the more people will leave my congregation. This was her counsel. Half of her saying is true. Many Christians nowadays don't care about holiness and don't want to hear a sermon about holy life, do they? However, the Word of God still compelled me to preach and ask the congregation to live lives of holiness. How about you? Do you think you feel the importance of holiness as much as you should? And do you think you see your practical lives of holiness as much as you should? The lesson that arises from today's text is that you must do action to be holy. You must prepare your heart for this action, turning from evil desires and then eagerly setting your heart toward holiness. Now, let's see how the text unfolds. Our first heading is readiness for our action. Readiness for our action. Peter evokes our readiness for action. In verse 13, we look at what readiness Peter is asking of us. There are also three ways we must be ready. First, the Bible says to gird up the loins of your mind. ESV and NIV, if you have, use the expression prepare your heart, your mind for action. It would be very helpful if we knew where this expression is from originally. Just recall any movie or documentary showing the customs from ancient times in the Middle East, like the film Jesus or Ben-Hur, whatever. What did their traditional garments look like? Especially those of men or soldiers. They did not wear jeans or suits like us. They wore very long robes draping around their bodies, right? If they wanted to walk faster or work on something, they had to gird up skirts on their robes. I want to show, but I cannot show here, but you can imagine what I'm talking, right? The verb prepare here is originally translated to gird up the long robes to facilitate work or walking. Clear? So too, the Bible reminds us to prepare our heart and mind to take action. And the readiness Peter is asking us to engage in is preparation for action too. Second, our readiness for action is to be sober. Imagine you stand up on the war field just before the battle. A senior officer raised the troops with a fighting spirit. Warriors, concentrate and be sober. Check your weapons. Heads up. Are you ready? Victory is yours. Likewise, we find the same expression, be sober, in 1 Thessalonians 5a. I'm going to read. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Be sober. Put on your weapons from God. This readiness is also preparation for action. Third, Peter motivates us by setting before us our reward after the battle, saying, rest your hope fully upon the grace in verse 13. He has already talked about this hope four times before in verses 1, 3, 4, and 7. This is the fifth time Peter keeps repeating the theme that we are pilgrims heading toward our real home and our inheritance in Christ. Longing for the final glorification by God's grace should be minimized. And it makes us be ready to take action in this life. Another idea about preparation for action. If we turn to Exodus 12, there is God's institution of Passover. Verse 11 says, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. God instituted Passover just before the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, the beginning of their voyage. God not only wanted to remind them who He is as their deliverer from the land of slavery, but He wanted their hearts to long for the promised land. Here, in this letter from the Apostle Peter, God again prepares His people's hearts and minds to prepare to action as pilgrims. We are living in a wilderness. There is action we must do, and we must prepare our hearts and minds. I humbly ask you, are you really ready? So, what action? We move to our second heading. Reminders of what not to do. Reminders of what not to do. I let you know in the beginning where this sermon is headed. Mr. Yang will talk about holiness, one of the most repeated themes in the church. When we talk about the nature of holiness, we need to talk about two things: what not to do and what to do. On the one hand, we must die unto sin, and the other hand, we must live unto righteousness. For example, the Westminster Confession of Faith describes our holiness both negatively and positively. Negatively, the dominion over the whole body of sin is destroyed, and the several lusts thereof are more and more weakened and mortified. Positively, on the other hand, Christians are more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving grace to the practice of true holiness. The practice of true holiness. The light in stark contrast to the darkness. Day and night. Light and darkness are contrary to each other. Taking about holiness to think of both the negative and positive command. And we stand neither here nor center, but only here. The meaning of the word holiness itself means separation. Separation from sin. Separation from the opposite part. Only here. To make it clear, Peter first tells us the things not to do. The negative command before the positive command. In verse 14 of today's passage, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. I have a New King James Version. Here is a very important phrase. Do not conform. Do not conform. This verb phrase is found in only two places in entire Bible. I told Peter used very unique words so many times. Here in 1 Peter and in Romans 12:2. Why don't you turn in your Bible to Romans 12? I will read from verse 1.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is a very well-known passage. But look at, do not be conformed to this world. NIV added, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world. Back to the background of this letter. This letter of Peter was written in the first century. There were many false gods because of their polytheistic background. There were sinful customs, cultures, and lifestyle. Now we have heard the sermon series on the book of Judges. During the time of Judges, especially in the beginning of this era, why did God keep commanding the Israelites to separate themselves from the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Ammonites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites? What happened when the Israelites didn't obey God's command? We know the story. In the first century, in the land of Asia Minor, the background of 1 Peter, do you think the sinfulness of that culture was better than before? In the 21st century in the U.S., do you think our culture is better than theirs? Is the pattern of this world the pattern we... Is the pattern of this world the pattern we as Christians may follow? I may not say our world is better or worse than the first century or before then. However, I will say that this world is not the world that we should follow or love. If this world doesn't recognize our Jesus as the King of all nations. Even in verse 14, Peter warned the believers not to conform to the time when they lived in ignorance of Jesus. We needed to recognize that this world is ignorant of Jesus. Acts 3:17 obviously describes this when it says, the ignorance put Jesus Christ into death. The ignorance put Jesus Christ into death. This is the world we are living in now. The lack of the knowledge of God caused Jesus Christ to be killed. Ignorance of the fullness of Jesus Christ threatened the Church of Christ. Many evil desires in this world tempt us and our children too. We have many babies and young kids here. My wife and I often talk about what this world and cultures will look like as our daughter grows up. 30 years later or 50 years later, as technology continues to develop at a tremendous rate, there will be more temptation for us to fight against. It's very true that our children can be easily exposed to the sinful things in this world. With a couple of clicks, what do they can find? On website and online, it might become even harder to leave this world as a Christian. However, God's word continues to preach the same things. We should set ourselves apart not only from sin, but also from the sinful pattern of this world. Again, the word of Lord enduring forever has been preached and will continue to be preached, and it does not change. From Ephesians 4, you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Finally, we reach our third and last heading. Reorder our holiness. Reorder our holiness in verse 15 and 16. What is this important action? What's the action? Be holy in all your conduct. Be holy in all your conduct. In verse 16, Peter uses a direct quotation from Leviticus chapter 11, 44 to 45. Leviticus teaches that the Israelite people were not to pattern their lives on the custom of the land of Egypt that they had left behind, nor on the custom of the land of Canaan that they were to enter. Rather, they were to pattern their lives on God's commandments. The book of Leviticus is the book of the Bible that focuses the most on this theme of holiness. Also, think back to the time when God called Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3. God commanded him to take off his sandals, which meant to throw away his old habitation. It's because Moses stood before the holy place in the presence of a holy God. Moses was commissioned to do God's holy deeds for his holy nation. Holiness is God's nature, yet sinners cannot stand before that holy God. However, God our Father called us to be holy like Himself. As Christians, we receive God's call to holy living. This is why practical holiness is so important. Hebrews 12:14 says, Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, I want to point out two things we should grab about this holiness life. First, we are made holy through Jesus Christ. Our holiness is rooted in the finished work of Christ. There is one expression we skipped, but Peter uses in referring to us, that obedient children. However, literally, this should be children of obedience. These two experiences sound very similar, but not same. But by God's grace, through the blood of Christ, we who were children of disobedience became the children of obedience. We did not instantly become obedient children, but obedience became our identity. We are characterized by obedience. Our last name was already changed. Our family is a holy family. God the Father is the most holy one. He is our Father. Actually, the word obedience is derived from the word hearing. Christians are those who have hearkened to the gospel. We are able to hear and obey God's word because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our root of our holiness. So the thing we need to do is not to make our own to-do list to be holy as a list of regulation, but rather to be holy Christ-centered Christians first. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy Christ-centered Christians. Remember, Paul, he was ever looking unto Jesus. I can do all things, he says, through Christ, which strengthened me. I live yet not, I but Christ live in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Let us go and do likewise. Second, our holiness is the ongoing action of God's grace. You might know the differences between the act of God's grace and the work of God's grace. Act and work. Both justification and adoption described in the Westminster Shorter Catechism are the act of God's grace. The act of God's grace. On the other hand, the Westminster Shorter Catechism explains that sanctification is the work of God's grace. It's because justification and adoption happened just once. Once, yet sanctification is ongoing. Former RP pastor G.I. Williams, in his commentary on the Westminster Shorter Catechism, included the illustration of a doctor who gives his patient a shot and says, "This will make you well again, but now you must exercise. You must exercise." Even though the patient would be fully recovered from any disease or surgery, exercise is needed to maintain good health. Here is one more example. We often refer our regeneration as our new birth, don't we? With a very simple mind. So, do any baby say hi to his parents at the moment of his arrival? Does any baby give a big hug to his parent? Or who is available or able to walk just after birth? To walk, a baby needs to work hard. He or she may fall down, bump his or her head on the floor, and get bruised many times. I'm witnessing my baby. However, finally, after crawling, and after standing, step by step, he or she learns how to walk. the ongoing work of holiness will take more time, because we need to practice throughout our lives, during our whole lifetime. And again, this practice should be applied to all our conduct. In other words, every aspect of our life. I don't know how to give the detailed application of the holy life now, but surely you and I know the range of this practice. It's not a part of your conduct, but every aspect of your life, in all your behavior, all manner of your conversation, and all your habit of your life. God, reorder our holiness. Be holy in all your conduct. In closing, I'd like to bring a quotation from one famous pastor, Jonathan Edwards' sermon on Isaiah 35:8, entitled "The Way of Holiness." Christian holiness is above all the hidden birch of a more bright and pure nature, more serene, calm, peaceful, and delightsome. What a sweet calmness, what a calm ecstasy does it bring to the soul. I know the beauty of holiness, but don't quite grasp the meaning of much delight from holiness like this pastor did and said. I just read Isaiah 35:8-10 to get a better idea as we read. I will read again. I will read you some part of Isaiah 35:8-10. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it, but only the redeemed will walk there. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and shining will flee away. Why do we think the way of holiness is such a burden in the Christian's life? Why don't we view the way of holiness as the journey of the redeemed marching to Zion? And why don't we engrave on our hearts the truth that we will find everlasting joy there and be glorified before God? Now, we must prepare ourselves for action. It's time to action, to practice the habit of holiness in our lives as children of obedience. Be holy in all your conduct. Amen.